that low. That's not the will of God. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Hallelujah. He said, come unto me, he said, and you'll find rest for your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. You know, your mind, you just be agitated and frustrated. Oh, that's not the will of God. We resist the devil. We cast those cares. Make a decision right now. You are not going to worry about what you're concerned about right now. And make your request known to God with thanksgiving. Thank God that. Say, Lord, I just thank you that you're working this thing out. That you're working it out according to your plan and your purpose. Hallelujah. You're working in this situation right now. Therefore, I don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to be concerned about it. If I need to do something, you'll direct my path. Hallelujah. I'm making a decision right now to trust in the Lord. How many of y'all do that today? How many of you really say, you know what, we'll take this message to heart and say, you know what, Pastor? I'm going to put a stake in the ground today, and I am making a decisive dedication of my life to the Lord to such a degree that I am going to apply this word to my life, and I'm making a decision that I'm not going to worry about anything, that I am going to trust God in everything, with everything. I'm going to tell you, he's trustworthy. Amen. You can make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Tell your neighbor, say, you're going to make it. Say, it ain't bad as what you think. Say, it's not bad as what you think.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Of the old, the best of the new, the best variety in music.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. Recorded are these words. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, showing you a better way. Showing you a better way. Paul deals with the Christians at Corinth, and he's sharing with them in a personal and intimate way, as to say, both I know you and I know what you have gone through, and I have fellowshipped with you in your sufferings. Verse 3 talks about fellowship in sufferings, because when he says, and I was with you, that speaks volumes. Because most times, folk don't mind being with you when it's good. When the sun is shining in your life, everything is going well, you're happy, they're happy, it's happy feelings. But when you start going through, you find out who's really true. And most times you're left by yourself. And Paul has already told them in verse 1 and 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He makes clear that he was not using nor utilizing his education, his higher learning. Paul was a member of the intelligentsia. Paul had every right to use his knowledge and his wisdom as it best served him. But because he didn't want that to get in the way of the presentation of Jesus Christ, unless folk would look at him rather than Jesus, he chose to make it plain. And can I tell you, when you make it plain, you catch everybody. There are some folk who will act like they know what you're talking about when you start using polysyllabics and you use words of higher learning, and they'll sit there and talk, preacher. Say it. And then you ask them what they said or what they mean. They don't really know, but they just go on and act like it because they don't want to show that they don't know. But yet they leave there without the knowledge and the understanding that they need to have from the Word. And so it is important that we understand we should never let self or our ability to speak on higher levels to turn us to us, rather than to turn us to him. Then he said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he dealt with the fact that his determination was not to hear about the divisions, about the factions, about the schisms and the isms that they were dealing with, but his focus was on Jesus, and that's what their focus needed to be on. And when he got there, he was not interested in getting with this clique or with that clique or with all of the stuff that was going on. It was all about Jesus. And then when he talked about that Son of God, Jesus Christ, he was the destined Son. Matthew 1:21 talks about, and she shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. They knew that Jesus was that one that was destined to be the divine Savior, because it says, and him crucified. And through his crucifixion, he made right what was wrong with us and God. And those who accepted Jesus had the acceptance of heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And then he says, and I was with you in weakness. Weakness. I think it's clear that we all understand that while some of us may put on a persona, some of us may act like we're always strong, that it's always good, that we're always on top, that everything is always well, Paul has a different perspective of that. And Paul was making clear in their weakness, and weakness had many extremities to that word and to the situation, because sometimes you may be weak in one thing and strong in another thing. But here he deals more with their spiritual weakness and the issues of them being able to do what they were called to do and confronted to do, and to present Jesus in the way that Jesus desired them to present him. And sometimes their weakness, whether it be of knowledge, whether it be of the Holy Spirit, whether it be of their allegiance to the church or to the world, that were issues that brought weakness, which meant that he could not be presented and put on the top shelf like he ought to have been. And then he goes on to say, it wasn't only just weakness, because weakness produces fear. He said, and I was with you in fear. And everybody don't need to act like they are fearless. No, no, no. We should not have the spirit of fear as in of the world. But know this, that fear does come upon us, even though we have a right to cast it out. We have a right to rebuke it. We have a right to resist it. Fear does come upon. Have I got a witness in the house? And ain't no sense in you acting like, even though you know Jesus, that you'll get up. I tell it everywhere I go. Really? Really? Would you really tell it everywhere you go? There are some places and some people that you have, through fear, kept your mouth closed when the Spirit was unctioning you to say something to somebody. He says, but fear kept you from representing God the way that you ought to have. And then notice he goes on to say, and much trembling. Not just fear and trembling. Fear and much trembling. And so Paul was saying, listen, you might fool them, but you don't fool me. I know you. I've been there with you. I've seen your experiences. I've had to encourage you through those things, and it was because I was with you, I know you better than you think I know you. Fear and much trembling. You can get that right here in church. You call somebody to come up here and do something. Or they get the Holy Ghost. They just, you lose it, you know. You ask somebody to come up here to do a welcome, man, they take weeks to get ready for a welcome, for 2 minutes. Bother everybody in the house. Listen, tell me how this sounds. Rehearse it 1,000 times in the mirror, and then get up here. Y'all pray for me. I never just have. And that's over a welcome. Paul said, I've been with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. And this phrase, much trembling, again, gives way to how difficult presenting Christ could be, especially in unfavorable conditions. See, it's easy, on the other hand, to talk about our Father to the rest of his children. It's easy to talk about how good God is when you've got witnesses. But how can you tell the story with the same vigor, vim, and vitality, with the same passion and power, when you go out on the street where there are folk who's lost everything? Can you still declare with the same passion and power, God is good all the time? And you might not get them hollering back, and all the time God is good. Because they're saying, where is God in my situation? How did God allow me to fall into this predicament? And you've got to answer the questions that they don't have answers to. And you'll discover that it's not always as easy as it looks when you take the gospel to the real places. And so, my brothers and sisters, Paul says, here is what you need to know. I was with you. And can I tell you, you can speak to folk when you've been with them in their weakness, in their fear, in their much trembling. You can minister to folk when you care enough about them to go and deal with them in their situations, in their sorrows, in the places where they hurt the most. It's important to know that you have the power to reach them when you can identify and have had fellowship with them in their suffering. Listen, I need you most when I'm down, more than when I'm up and around. I need your faithfulness when I'm not in my place or at the best of my service or the peak of my performance. I need your help then more than I need it at any other time. But that's not the time that folk want to show up and show out and come around and do all of those things. It's usually when things are good and they are not needed. And he says, I was with you. Wouldn't that be comforting to you to know that the one who's ministering to you can say, I was with you? Because you don't have to say, I heard. You can say, I know. And then look at what he says. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Now, he talks about excellency in speech in verse 1, but he talks about enticing words in verse 4. Now, there is a difference between excellency and enticing. And he says, listen, I didn't use either one. Enticing meaning persuasive words. I didn't try and pull you in one direction as it relates to the flesh. I didn't try and blow your mind. I didn't try and get you hyped up on what I know. And a whole lot of folk are impressed with folk who know how to hype them up. So some of us are impressed with the phraseologies of church, and we know all of the phrases. And man, you can get a cold church almost dead, but you get all them right sayings together and do a flurry of those things. Oh man, and they'll start waking up a little bit, but they don't know the word. They don't know what it is that really brings life, and all of those things move the emotion, but they don't do anything for the spirit. He said, I did not use enticing words of man's wisdom. In other words, Paul said, I know what moves you. I know just what to say to wake you up and to shake you up. I know how to do what I do and make it do what I needed to do, but that ain't what I did. I came to you with the truth. And I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, every now and then when you present the truth to folk, they get quiet like some of y'all are getting this morning. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to shout me, preacher. Make me happy, preacher. But sometimes you got to realize that you've got to have a sobering word from the Lord to know how to handle your situations, to know how to deal with your storms, to be able to know that God is able to do anything but fail. Sometimes you don't get that from a shout. Sometimes you don't get that from a celebration. Sometimes you just need to be still and know that he is God. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I'm reminded, I've shared this story many years ago about a young doctor who had gone to this farming community from which he had hailed, and he had become a doctor, did his residency, and was now getting ready to take over his father's practice. One of the old farmers brought his daughter in, and he was looking to see the old doctor, but the old doctor wasn't in that day. And the young doctor saw his daughter, and the old doctor had the ability to ask what was the problem and listen and almost make a diagnosis before he did any further, for the diagnosis was really for confirmation more than anything else. So the girl had come in and she was coughing hard, etc., and he asked her, the doctor asked the father, what was the problem, and he tried to explain it to her, and he said, doctor, what's wrong with her? Here's what the young doctor said. He said, "Sir, I've never percussed nor auscultated her chest, and therefore cannot render a correct diagnosis relative to the etiology of her case, but only to the idiosyncratic disposition of her constitution. My prognosis is that her thoracic troubles will ultimately terminate in pathosis pulmonalysis." And if the old doctor would have been there, he would have simply said, "It sounds like she's got the whooping cough of TB. I wish I had a helper in the house." But some of us want to show folk how bright we are, how smart we are, and miss the whole point. He didn't want to know all of those high-sounding words. He wanted to know, what's wrong with my daughter? You stick your chest up like you have said something, and folk are more confused after you speak than they were before. Check yourself. Check yourself. He says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He said, "You know what? I didn't make it about me. I just let God show up and show out. I turned the attention and the focus on Him. And I did what He wanted me to do. And I moved by the Spirit. And I spoke by the Spirit. And I ministered by the Spirit. And the Spirit of God had its way. And in His way, great power was displayed." And you ever get to the point where you let the Holy Ghost have His way? Oh, you're going to have not only church, but you're going to have signs and wonders and miracles happening when the Spirit of the living God is at liberty to move, to work. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. What a difference in our churches would it be if the Spirit could demonstrate He's still alive and He still has all power as He previously had, and He could do today what He did in biblical days, that He can still heal bodies, He can still raise dead, He can still straighten out broken hearts, messed up minds, that He could still do what the Bible records He's done. And you know He's real because the power manifests itself. It's one thing for the church to talk a good game. It's another thing for the Lord to show up and show out in the presence of His people. See, one of the things that the word is clear about is God's power demonstrated in God's presence. See, you've got to evoke the presence of God. And when His presence is there, His power is there to heal, to deliver, to do whatever is necessary to bless the people of God, to deliver the people of God. And so it is that reality that Paul is trying to get them to focus on. Why is that so important? Verse 4, he talks about forthrightness in speaking because he wants them to understand, and here's what you need to understand. The same God who works for Paul will work for you if you know how to speak. The words of faith. If you know how to call on the God who's able to do anything but fail, if you have a relationship with Him and understand it's not about your learning, it's not about, and I'm not trying to put down learning, God knows I'm not, because we need that, especially in this day and time. But what I am saying is never put it above God. The greater your knowledge and your learning ability, the higher up you can reach folk. But I've got news for you. There are some folk that don't know their names, big as this wall, who are anointed with the power of God, who can reach some of the highest folk in this world. Should it be God's choice for them? Then there's some people, because you don't have enough education, they won't even give you a chance. They won't even hear what you're saying. And so that's why you need to be fully equipped. Get all you can get. Be the best you can be. Do what you can do for the Lord so that he can use you wherever he chooses to use you. And so he talks about this because he knows that demonstration is far more important than verbalization. Wouldn't you rather the power of God be present than somebody fill your ears with a whole lot of wise sounding words and maybe make you feel good on the inside, but ain't nothing changed? Nothing is different when they're through, but you might have a little sensation. Forget the sensation. Change my situation. Let the power of God do something different in my life. And he talks about demonstration, and that's making that word that is written come alive and be manifested. Look at what he says in the fifth verse. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, a whole lot of our faith is rooted in some man's philosophy. That's why I've never really been, really concerned about what other folk are doing in their churches. You've got thrill seekers, and you've got folk who want to be entertained, and you like folk who come for a show. And when they don't get that foolishness here, then they go to other places, and ooh, they lively, they do this, they do that there. But God bless them. Because it takes all kind, because there are all kind. And I'm not going to put down on any other ministry, because whatever they do, they are permitted to do. And I pray, God, that it is to the glory of God. But I know if the Lord didn't tell me to do it, if the Lord didn't tell me to usher it in our ministry, if the Lord hasn't placed upon my heart for us to move in this direction or the other direction, then I'm not going to do it, because I won't do anything that God does not honor. And every now and then, you get some folk who think, you know, this way is that way and that way is this way. But here is the thing that you need to know, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. Your faith should not stand in man's wisdom and ability to do this or to programmatically do this or do that, or to have you be a part of this that's different, that, you know, ministers to your urges and your likings and that kind of thing. Listen, this ain't what the church is for. It's about the Lord. It's about the faith of your belief being in God and in God's word. Listen, and making that word that is mixed with your faith come alive. Come alive. But how can it come alive if you don't know it?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard, That's LOBDELL Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org.